question is often something that we ignore or we don't even want to address. Because in order to answer the questions rightly or properly, we need to understand that really we're talking about what we say. Our words. Kind of like these four pastors. You probably heard the story about the four pastors. They met for a friendly gathering, and during the conversation, one preacher said, he said, "Our people come to us. They pour out their hearts. They confess their sins and their needs. So let's do the same here. Like, confession is good for the soul. So the four of us gather here. Why don't we confess to one another something?" And so in due time, they all agreed that they would do this. So one confessed that they'd like to go to movies and would sneak off away from his church and go watch a movie. Second confessed to liking to smoke cigars. And third one confessed to he liked playing cards. Came to the fourth one, he didn't say anything. And the other guys kept pressing him, He goes, "Say something. Come on, we confessed to our vices, our secrets. We were full of confession." Finally, this fellow said, he said, "Well, I really like when people confess to me, and I gossip all the time, and I can hardly wait to get out of here." That was the last ministerial meeting I was at. No, I'm just joking. And if I got stories for you. No, anyway, delete that. I'm going to talk to you today about your words and your future. How your words can affect your future. My future is affected by what I confess with my mouth. If you look at Romans chapter 10, start at verse 9. Where are we here? Actually, I'm going to start with verse 8. Sorry. See, I told you, it keeps jumping all over the place. Verse 8 of Romans 10. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. See, my future is affected by what I confess with my mouth. Words are containers for power. You know, just like this glass contains water. How many of you can see this? I'm sorry, the rest of you people, you went blind somehow. I don't know how that happened, but is it my head? I don't, you know. This glass contains water. Words contain power. They contain creative or destructive power. In Genesis chapter 1, it's an amazing passage of Scripture. And there you would find each thing that God created and how God created. The Bible says, "And God said, let there be light." And God said, one by one, if you go through Genesis, underline each place where God created something that we now enjoy. And it doesn't say God thought a thought. It doesn't say God waved his hands. It says God said. Romans 10, 9 and 10 give us a pattern that we need to follow. It's actually talking about being saved, about salvation. But I think if this is the way that we're to receive salvation, it's probably also the way that we can receive anything else in our life. Words are powerful. Now Proverbs 18:21, a great passage of Scripture, says the power of life and the power of death is in the tongue. The power of life and death is in the tongue. And those who indulge in it must eat the fruit of it, whether for life or whether for death. That means what we speak, we're going to have to be satisfied with the results of those words. Some of us are living out right now what we've said in the past. So if we don't like what is going on right now, we need to make sure that we say some things that's going to help us have the life that we want to have in the future. Most Christians speak death. We don't speak life to other people. Because the battle really does belong to the Lord. That song was so fitting today. And as you were singing it, Pastor, I just was thinking, man, the devil also has a plan for each one of us. I'm encouraging you today, make your mind up who you're going to get in agreement with. The Bible says, if any two or three agree, they'll have what they say, what they ask for. Now, we only take that, we put it in the positive. But I think if we want to get into agreement with the devil, we can open a door to what he wants us to have. That's a battle. You have to choose what's going to come out. There's a great website. Kate was doing some research. I forget what she was looking for or doing, but she was getting some stuff doing some stuff on the internet that we needed done. And she said, "You are not going to believe this, Dev. But look what this says. It says, whether it's complaining, criticizing, or gossiping, our words carry weight that can destroy relationships and damage our testimony." I said, wow, I want that. Because that applies. It's right on the front of your bulletin. Whether it's complaining, criticizing, or gossiping, our words carry weight that can destroy relationships and damage our testimony. I set before you life and death. Bible says, Deuteronomy 30, choose life. We have a choice. We have a choice about how to act. We have a choice about what to think. We have a choice about what to say. The mouth is very unruly. It's very undisciplined. Sometimes it's kind of like a wild animal. You know, we used to have a cat named Garfield. Beautiful cat. Lovely. Just moped around. Great cat. We tried so hard. We put a tether on him, and we thought, we'll take him for a walk, get him to exercise. Man, we dragged that cat, because he really, come on. So we took the tether off, and then he'd run, you know. So we just, you know. And I, one day, Joan was leaving for work. I said, you know what, while you're gone, I'm going to do some cleanup. Because she was a receptionist at the Bible college, and I was a student, and so I had quite a bit of free time. And So while she's out, I thought, I'm going to clean up. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start with Garfield. So I ran that tub full of water. Garfield, who could never move. I picked him up off the chair. I said, Garfield, we're going to have a fun day today. Took him into the bathroom. He saw the water. Man, could that cat move? Man, I went and I got him back. He was underneath stuff. I was trying to coax him out, little pebbles of kibbles and bits. I don't know what it was. But out he'd come, catnip, I don't know. And if I used catnip, he probably would. Anyway, so I get him to the water, and I put him in that water, and he's all over. At that moment, I wished desperately we had had him declawed. Joan comes, what were you doing? It's just, I cleaned, She said, what were you cleaning? I said, Garfield. She said, don't you know you can't wash a cat? It takes about four people in an army. I didn't know this. You cannot tame a wild animal. You feel like you can hardly control it. How many of you have ever washed a cat? Yeah, huh? You survived? Do you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. But that's how our tongue can become. It's just like, blah, 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 blah. Oh, I probably shouldn't have said that. Then why'd you say it? Relationships are destroyed by words or by lack of words. I had to add that. A relationship can be destroyed by things that are said or things that should be said but aren't said. And I'm almost guessing that there are some here today or watching by internet that have problems in relationships. And if you'll let the Spirit of God just speak to you today, your relationship can be restored and can be saved just by simply going home, not saying some of the things you've been saying, or beginning to say some of the things you should be saying that haven't been said. Bottom line, don't be an egg. I don't know why you don't. I don't know why you... I'm so tired of you doing that. I got a secret. That's not going to do anything when you nag. We all have things in life that we would like for the people that we're in a relationship with to do for us. But I've come to this conclusion. If I'm going to have to get somebody to do something by nagging them into it, it's not going to really be in their heart. It's not genuine. So there's a great secret. If I pray and ask God to move in their hearts, and if I just do a little bit of what I want to get, it's amazing what happens. You see, if you're not getting encouragement from the people around you, if you start encouraging them a little more, watch what'll happen. Words are so powerful that when you start encouraging someone, you will notice that they're different around you in a positive way. You can affect your future. Now, I just want you to make sure that you understand this, for you can affect your future by what you say out of your mouth. You've already said things in the past that have already affected where you are right now. So certainly, if you don't like what you got right now, you want something better in your future, you better start saying some better things than you have in the past. Because words have power. Positive or negative, creative or destructive, life and death. Choose what you want in the future and line up your words with the Word of God. Why do you think he says encourage one another? Build up one another. Because the battle is already happening, friends. And the enemy is already tearing down each one of us already. My future is affected by what I confess with my mouth, but also what I believe in my heart. Now, if you acknowledge, verse 9, if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart you believe, trust in, says the Amplified, and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So what do we need to do to be saved? We need to believe in our heart. We need to confess with our mouth. Believe in our heart. Confess with your mouth. For with the heart a person believes, adheres to, trusts in, says the Amplified, relies on Christ. Then he's justified and declared righteous and made acceptable to God. And with the mouth he confesses, declares openly, speaks out freely his faith, confirms his salvation. And it's talking about here in this realm, here on earth. So when I believe in my heart, God knows I believe. And that takes care of the things between me and God. But when I confess it, it confirms it in the natural realm, so the enemy hears it. You see, it's kind of like we live in two places. You get this? I don't know if you know that. But every one of us, we're kind of in two places. The Bible says we're seated with Christ in the heavenlies. How can I be seated in the heavenlies if I'm standing here preaching? I just love the Bible because it just messes with your mind, you know? Because spiritually, we're in one place. We're already there. But naturally, we're somewhere else. My heart attitude, God knows, but the devil needs to hear it from my mouth. And God longs to hear his word proclaimed from my life. I want you to get this today. Because there's some things that some of you have got in your heart that you really believe God has spoken to you about, but you're too afraid to just confess it. You have some promises, some dreams, some hopes, some desires, but you're so caught in just the negative stuff there's some changes that you really need to see take place in your life, in your body, your finances, your children. God has got a great plan for you. I think we can speak with our words and embrace what God has for us. Some wonderful blessings simply through speaking our words. Just boom. Now I can say, you know, I said the other day, I said, you know, I need to get in better physical shape. I need to get in better physical shape. I need to get in better physical shape. And I can have all of you pray for me. Rev Dev's got to get in better physical shape. Better physical shape. Better physical shape. And then you come along and say, so have you joined a gym? No. Well, you walking or?
No.
Well, what are you doing? Well, I'm praying. It's the same thing. See, we confess with our mouth all this negative stuff, and yet we want a positive life. Romans 10, 9 and 10 is like a pattern. Whatever you want from God, you've got to believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. When you want something from God, you believe it in your heart, you confess it with your mouth. Say, believe it in my heart. Confess it with my mouth. I got to tell you, I haven't talked about my father publicly about his attitude through his health situation. I don't think I've done that publicly. I've maybe spoken to some of you about it, but I'm going to try my best to explain to you about my dad. Because my dad was... when my dad was diagnosed with cancer, it was quite a difficult moment for us, but when I would take my dad to the oncologist and he had a catheter in and caused quite a bit of pain, but when I took him to the oncologist, and I remember the oncologist saying to him, you know, we're going to try our best to do what we can do to alleviate the cancer. And so she would give him various tests, and I remember specifically one time her saying to him, we're going to do everything we can so that you don't die. And I remember my dad saying, why would you want to do that? And I remember arranging for an ambulance to take him to the hospital. This was the last time that he was at home, because he was in such pain because the cancer had gone into his bones. And they got the pain under control in the hospital, and they admitted him and said he'll be in palliative care. I returned the next day after the night's sleep. I got more than 30 minutes, about 45. And I walked into the room with my brother, and my dad said, boys, I've got great news. And then he explained that the doctor came in and told how critical his situation was. She talked about his prognosis and what was going to happen to him in the days ahead. And then he said, now the good news. It won't be long. I'm finally dying. Couldn't believe it. So we asked him during a family meeting, because we couldn't that day, asked him, Dad, how can you be so upbeat about your condition? How can you speak that way? I'll never forget his words. He said, there are enough people in this world who complain and grumble, but where they're at, they've never really lived life. He said they're miserable every day. They always find something to complain about, somebody to blame. He said, I realize that I really need to live. He said, I'll go on living. I know I'll be fine, because he said, Jesus is real. He is real. Every day is a gift just to enjoy here, not a labor to complain and drudge through. God gives every day and the circumstances each day. This is just one of those days. Praise God. Huh? That's my father. Do you get it? My dad understood this. If you want to have a positive life, you cannot have a negative mouth. Hello? You still with me? If you want to have a positive, great, prosperous, successful future, you can't spend all your time talking about your lousy past. If you want to be healthy and feel good, you don't need to talk about how sick you are. Now, if you're sick, I want to tell you right now, I'm not saying you can't tell somebody, but I'm saying it's not going to help you just talk about it. Talk about it. I'm sick. Man, I used to complain. Oh, I'm so sick. Until my dad went through that stuff. Then I saw what comes out of the mouth is in the heart. I know a couple people, I'm not exaggerating. I mean, there's a family situation, and they know I share this story frequently, but they were in a family situation for 40 years, and they would come to church like this. They would time their getting to church, because there was a family feud, right? So they time their getting to church. Well, one would come at about 10:30, the other would come about 10 to 11. You know, there's a 20-minute break in between. Seriously. The one family would sit on this side, the other family would sit on this side. They had 30 to 40 years of resentment, bitterness, anger, grumbling, complaining, all this kind of stuff. And then they come to me with their faults and saying, everything's my fault. Blah, blah, blah. You've done it all wrong. Blah, blah, blah. You're not repairing the situation. You're making it worse. You know? So I called them into a meeting. They didn't know they were coming together until they got there. It was like washing my cat again. It was like washing my cat. They didn't have as deep a claws, but boy, they were out for it. And I tell you, after 2.5 hours, they wept and held each other and cried in each other's arms, because they knew that all they were saying was all the bad stuff in their past. Stuff. Garbage. If you want to have a positive life, you can't live a negative pattern. If you want to dress, you can't use a pattern for a coat. If you want to have prosperity, stop going around all the time saying, I can't afford it. Never have the money. I mean, you say that. Well, I can't afford it. You don't need to keep announcing it. If you can't afford it, you can't afford it. People know you can't afford it. God knows you can't afford it. Devil knows you can't afford it. Your friends probably know you can't afford it. Don't need to say it again and again. See, we keep belaboring all the bad, negative stuff that we get in the heat of the battle. What God wants from us is He wants us to just talk about how great, how wonderful, how joyful life really is. I know you're probably in circumstances where you don't want to hear this, and before somebody wants to have an opinion about my message today, this is not a name it, claim it message. I'm not telling you that you can just go have anything you want because you operate in this kind of magical, weird world of confessing it long enough, you'll have it. That's not true. I mean, but to say things like, well, my kids, I'm afraid they won't amount to anything. What does that do? What does that say? My mom and dad never had anything. I never had anything. I'll probably never have anything. You probably won't have anything. I don't like my husband. You probably won't. Don't like my church. You'll hate it. Don't like my clothes. You won't like them. I don't like the way we sing. Well, then you won't like singing. Is there anything that you ever like? If you want to have a positive life, you cannot have a negative mouth. Now, I know there's sectors of Christianity get upset this kind of preaching. They can hardly stand it. And I don't know why somebody would get upset about telling people that we can use our mouth to speak positive in a very negative world. I don't know why people would get upset for telling people to confess good things over their life, over their future, over their family. But I can tell you why. Because when that spirit of religion gets involved, It only has one way to do everything, and that's their way. That was the problem with the Pharisees. They were so negative because Jesus didn't do things their way. Maybe you've never heard anything like this. Don't just believe me. Check this out. Get into your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you a Bible. Just ask us. Because God calls those things that are not as though they are. Look at this passage goes on. With your heart that you believe and are justified, it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Saved. What do you need to be saved from today? As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. How many of you realize today that you are wealthy beyond measure? Maybe not money, maybe not gifts, but if Jesus is Lord of your life, you have a great deal of wealth. I love the way the message puts this. Verses 11 to 13, Scripture reassures us no one who trusts God like this, heart and soul, will ever regret it. It's exactly the same, no matter what a person's religious background may be, the same God for all of us, acting the same incredibly generous way to everyone who calls out for help. Everyone who calls help God gets help. Help God. Help God. You're going to have what you say. Help God. I'm going to give you what you need. Help God. I got angels standing right by you. You're in a heavy battle right now, but man, I'm looking after you. Help God. I know you're struggling financially. It's okay. Just trust me. God, help me. It's all right. It's okay. I'm with you. But I'm so sick. I'm in such pain. I know. I hurt with you. Thanks for telling me. I'm right with you. Have you asked him? Help. Lord, help. Help my mouth. Help what comes out of it, Lord. Help what comes out of it. Because I can't say very good stuff anymore. Tell you, turn to your neighbor and say, this is good. And neighbor, you respond back and go, uh-huh. God wants to do some wonderful things for you. Do you get it today? You got it. How many of you got it? You got it? Amen? Right on. I don't need to keep going. You know, I got to tell you, when I started here at first, and I got to share this brief as I can. You'll hear it again another time, I'm sure, because I love repeating things that are great. But I sat on the back of this hill October 1st, 1998, and I remember saying in the back of this hill, God, I don't know what plans you have for this church, but all I want is I want it for us to be obedient to you and always preach that Jesus is Lord. And Lord, I don't know where you're going to take that or who's going to be involved, but God, I trust that all with you. And we've had an amazing time, haven't we? It's been fun. And who would have thought that in that time, God would say, you know what? First Baptist PA is going to reach the world. We get emails from Australia, Scotland. Of course, we have a connection with Spiritwood. Regina, we just have people drive up from Regina to be here live with us. I mean, who knew that? God. Who knew that First Baptist Church would reach the city of Prince Albert through recording artists at a summer jam this July? Oh, God. Who knew that Pastor Jeremy would be going with, and Catherine would be going with E3 and starting this great partnership, that we would start a great partnership as a church? Who knew that? God? Who understands what you need better than you do? God? Who knows when you hurt? Who knows about your financial situation? Who knows that you're not married and you're looking for a spouse right now? That was all the single people. Start in your prayer closet. Go to your prayer closet and pray, pray, pray. The Bible says in Romans 4 that we have a God who calls those things that be not as if they already existed. Pray. If you keep it up, and keep it up, and keep it up. If you want to have a positive life, you cannot have a negative mouth. You got to believe in your heart, confess it with your mouth. Believe it in your heart, confess it with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's pray. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you got caught today in some way down a tangent. I don't know. Because the enemy has a way of doing that, just taking what you need and making you upset instead of maybe hearing, listening. But I pray today that you've really heard. You've really heard what God is saying to you. He's saying you will be saved. You will be saved. You'll be saved from whatever circumstance you're walking through. So don't worry about it. You will be saved. About the hurt and the anguish and the pain in your relationship, you will be saved. But you got to believe it in your heart. You got to confess it with your mouth. So you're coming to prayer this morning while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're saying, Lord, believing it in my heart, and I will confess it with my mouth. I'm going to get rid of all this negative stuff that keeps coming out. And I'm going to start concentrating, Lord, on having a positive life. And I'll tell you what. Something amazing will happen. Lord, I give you my mouth, my words, everything today. If that's your prayer, just lift your hand. Just lift it up. I give you my words, Lord. Lift it. Lift your hand. Yes, Lord, bless you, Lord. I give you my words. I give you my mouth. Everything comes out of it, Lord. I want you to be Lord. Just lift your hand. Lift your hand. Lift your hand. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. God sees all his hands. Lord, bless you. 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 Believe it. Believe it. Confess it. Confess it. I'll tell you what happens when you do that. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, all that stuff is given to you. That's what happens. You say, I believe it in my heart, confess it with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Father, this morning we've prayed, walked through your word, we've sung, heard wonderful worship, God. Oh. Hearing this worship team and hearing Jody sing, Lord, we know that you're a God who gives great gifts. We proclaim today as a church, Lord, we want to continue to be infectious for you. May we infect people around us with by our words. Lord, may we get rid of this negative stuff that the enemy just puts in there for us to speak out. Destroy relationships. Destroy our circumstances. God, may we look every day to being you, our Lord, who saves us. Who saves us. To you be the glory and the honor forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen.
with God, all things are possible. And so it seems fitting today at the end of a sermon like that. Thanks, Pastor Devin. Isn't he just a fantastic pastor? Praise the Lord. Not a bad preacher either. Yeah, it's good. Praise the Lord. It just seems fitting to end a service like this by confessing to God our praise. You know, there's times where we end a service in a quieter kind of frame of mind, and we meditate and we worship. But this morning we're going to just praise God and sing a song of praise to Him and just proclaim that with Him all things are in fact possible. Amen? So let's stand and sing.